Well, good evening and welcome to Raven Radio's on-air annual meeting. Today is Wednesday. It's the 6th of November. It is about 36 minutes after 6 o'clock. And usually you'd be hearing the Starry Evening Concert right about now, but we're going to take this week and share with you some news and information about Raven Radio, how your community station has fared over the last year. My name is Ken Fate. I'm the general manager of Raven Radio, and we're going to be going over a few different things tonight that you can follow along with if you go to our website, kcaw.org. We've got a PDF file that you can open up, and it's about 8 pages, and you can follow along with the contents of the meeting. We'll be going through, first off, introducing the newly elected board members of Raven Radio, and then I'll give a budget report, and then we'll talk a little bit about our audience, and then we'll hear from the news department, and then from the development department, and then the programming department. We'll have a little discussion about programming, and then we'll accept phone calls, or if you want to stop by for your questions and comments about Raven Radio programming. So all that's coming up here over the next hour and a half or so. And thanks so much for tuning in to Raven Radio's on-air annual meeting. We used to do this live down at Harrigan Centennial Hall. It's been at a few different places throughout the history of Raven Radio, at the A&B Hall, at the Unitarian Fellowship. And always, you know, we're able to see dozens, sometimes scores of people attend. But we thought that with having the radio station as a tool and able to share this news with every interested party, which is you, dear listener, that we'd be able to spread this information further and wider and share it with you tonight. So thanks for being with us. We hope to keep it brief and interesting. Going to move on now to Ted Howard. He's the board president, and he's going to introduce you to the Raven Radio board members. So let's see, Ted, it's great to have you in the studio. Thanks for being here.
Well, good evening, Ken. It's good to be here. And it's a pleasure to introduce the board members to our listening audience and to the members of our Raven community. We have two new folks who were newly elected, and congratulations to Gretchen Clark and Celia Lubin. We're looking forward to working with these folks. And people, yes, people who've been reelected, Corey Bosman as a member at large, and Mandy Evans, who's treasurer and the Coast Alaska representative. And I was reelected, and I'm currently chair. Other people on the board, Trish Durham, who's now secretary, Perry Edwards, vice president, Dan Edelaine, who is currently filming us right here in the studio, and I bet we're going to be watching that on Channel 11 sometime. Robert Haddle's currently on the board, and Robbie Littlefield also. And our at-large Coast Alaska representative is Susie Albee. And it would be terrible if I didn't mention the retirement of the board from by Jim Steph Steffen. He's put in 30 years of service to Raven Radio. He has been a vibrant member of our community.
Hear, hear.
Yes, and he was here before Raven was on the air. So he's been here even longer than the 30 years that Raven's been on air. And we'd like to thank him for his service. And we're going to have a get-together in December for him to honor him and to celebrate that service. So and at this point, maybe asking folks out there in the listening audience who have some memorabilia or photos or stories about Steph, contact Ken at Raven Radio. He can be reached, email Ken at raven.org. Oh, KCAW.org.
KCAW.org.
Okay, so we can use them at the party. And we found out today that we're losing another board member, Samin Bone, who has been really a good board member for the last few years, and we'd like to thank her for the job she has done on the board, and we'll be recognizing her service at the next board meeting in December.
Well, thanks to everybody on the board, and I did want to mention that our Coast Alaska representatives, Susie Albee and Mandy Evans, also mentioned that if ever you have any questions about Coast Alaska and how Raven Radio fits in to the Southeast Alaska world of radio, that you can contact them And you can do that through our website at the Contact Us area, or you can call me here at the station, and we'll hook you up with them as well. So thank you so much, Ted.
Well, it's a pleasure, and this is a fine organization to be involved with. Thank you, Ken.
Thanks, everybody who voted, too. Your newly elected board members, Gretchen Clark and Celia Lubin, are here tonight. Feel free to drop on by if you'd like to meet them. And we'll certainly look forward to working with Gretchen and Celia on weeks to come. We meet, and everybody's always invited to stop by a board meeting. We meet the first Wednesday of almost every month at 6 p.m. here at the station. But sometimes we have to move the meetings. We do publicize them in the paper and on the Raven Radio community calendar.
But tonight we have snacks. Usually at the board meetings we don't have snacks.
We have
so come on down tonight and
visit
with us.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Ted. I'll let you go. And what I'm going to do next is encourage you that if you have a question at any point in the meeting about what we're going over, for instance, I'm about ready to talk about the budget for a little while. If you have a question, by all means, give me a call, and I can put you on the air, and we will go through your question and see if we can get that answered. The number is 747-5877. If you're outside of Sitka, it's toll-free, 1-800-478-5877. And again, I've got this budget report printed out for me here, but you can see it at home on your computer or on your tablet or on your phone at kcaw.org. In the upper left-hand corner, there's a link to the on-air annual meeting for 2013, and you can open that up and follow along if you like. I'm just going to go over some basics right now. Our fiscal year starts July 1, ends June 30th. That means we're nearing the middle of the fiscal year 14. Like many elements of Raven Radio, the budget process is handled collaboratively with Coast Alaska stations in Ketchikan, Petersburg, Wrangell, and Juneau. Collaborative services that Coast Alaska provides include business and accounting, payroll, membership, underwriting, sales, regional news, engineering, and representation to state and federal funding agencies. So by collaborating, then we can have fewer people do that work for everybody, which means more radio and less administration costs and people. The Coast Alaska business offices are in Juneau, but the Coast Alaska Executive Director, Molly Kabler, is based here in Sitka, just downstairs at the Cable House. You can meet her anytime you like. Other Coast Alaska employees like Ed Schoenfeld and engineering staff are based in Juneau or travel frequently to different locations around Southeast Alaska. We had Ed Schoenfeld here in Sitka for almost a month during October when Robert Woolsey was on leave. And you hear Ed frequently throughout the year. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting continues to emphasize Coast Alaska as a model for station collaboration. So we're in the doing something right category. Last year, the budgeted revenue for Raven Radio was $630,000. We ended that year in the red, but only on paper. The reason that we ended last year in the red is that Coast Alaska, the collaboration of Southeast radio and TV stations, stepped up to pay off Raven Radio's remaining $112,000 of our mortgage on the Cable House here. That money was seen as a regional investment to eliminate debt and interest costs. So all the stations in Southeast now own the buildings they broadcast from, including Raven Radio. We fully own the Cable House. FY13 also included a sequestration of federal funds, making our budgeted revenue lower than usual last year. Our current budget, it's called FY14, the operating revenues are $649,000. And here's how that breaks down. Just going to give you five major categories here. Listener membership revenue, that's you and your membership to Raven Radio, it all adds up to 22% of our revenue, of our money that we have to operate through the year. That's about $140,000. Local and regional underwriting, those are the businesses that support Raven Radio, 22%, about $140,000. And then local rent, retail, T-shirt and mug sales, and special events, things like the Stardust Ball and the raffle, those tally about 14% of the total revenue. And then if you add those up, the local funding, local and regional funding, is 58% of Raven Radio's income. That's well over half. We also receive money from the state, and that's 21%. And we receive federal money to broadcast at 21%. So those add up to 42%, a little less than half of Raven Radio's operating budget is from combined state and federal funding. So how do we spend that money? That money is spent with about seven different categories. Personnel, by far, is the largest. To make radio go, it takes people. We have a full-time staff of five folks and several part-time employees. And so the personnel costs are 55% of that total budgeted income of $649,000. And that includes salary, benefits, and federal taxes for five full-time and several part-time employees. Coast Alaska expenses, and that's that regional accounting, membership, development, engineering, news, representation, all those services, we pay 22% of our income on those. Programming, APRN, NPR, BBC, etc., is 8% of expenses. Occupancy, the utilities, the insurance, 6%. Development, which includes mugs and thank you gifts and special events expenses, 3%. Technical, equipment repair mostly, is 3%. And administration, office supplies, postage, dues, board expenses, etc., are 3%. So that is a review of the budget of Raven Radio. And thus far, half of the way through fiscal year 14, things look very good. We have made our $55,000 fall drive goal, and that puts us well on our way to achieving our annual local membership revenue. And we're on target with underwriting as well. So that's part of my job, is to keep an eye on that and make sure that we're tracking through the year so that we end every year in the black, excepting last year when we were technically in the red because Coast Alaska paid off our mortgage. So a big thanks to Coast Alaska and all the other communities around Southeast Alaska for helping Sitka in that regard. The Cable House now belongs to us. I'll be right back with Robert Woolsey, news director, and we're going to take a look at some of our audience numbers and some new things that we're doing about that. Bring in news director Robert Woolsey. Thanks so much for being here, Robert. Good to have you in the studio.
Yeah, and I brought my mom and dad too. They're out there applauding.
Yeah, you've got a portable fan club.
Not really.
We're gonna move into a report from the news department shortly. But before we do that, I wanted to take just a little bit of time and mention some new developments. We started streaming about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And the streaming means that on our website, kcaw.org, there's a button that says Listen Now. And so you don't need to be in Sitka or one of the Southeast Alaska listening communities. You can listen to Raven Radio anywhere in the world. And lo and behold, people do. Turns out that people also right here in Sitka also listen to the stream because their reception is kind of fuzzy, or it's just convenient at their desk at work or what have you. But we are now regularly having 700 people listen to the web stream each week. In radio, audience tends to be measured by weeks. So we're looking at 700 unique listeners, different people listen throughout the course of the week. And that compares to our broadcast, people that listen through the radio to our transmitters around Southeast Alaska. The weekly cumulative, the cum number, is about 6,000. So kind of in its infancy. Rob, how many years do you think it'll be before those numbers are about the same?
Well, I think there is kind of there is a threshold on the amount of listeners we can have online. If anybody's ever tried to go online and listen through our web stream and not been able to, you know that we have sort of hit the cap that we've signed up for. And it's like everything else around here. It's deciding if we can afford to increase that cap and kind of weighing the cost of what it costs of what we're doing now versus what it would cost to increase it. But I know that we've both been around a while, and 10 years ago, Ken, web streaming wasn't even part of the conversation. Online content wasn't even part of the conversation. And now we're sort of reaching a point where we're talking about the two audiences with, as having a kind of parity that was not even, on our radar.
Well, if you were to go to kcaw.org and bring up the document that's the outline of this meeting, you'd see a graphic that shows parity. As you just mentioned, our website regularly has 5,000 unique visitors per week. And that doesn't mean that they're wearing funny hats. That means they're different people.
No, they're all unique.
It's not one person logging on 5,000 times. And so the number of listeners and the number of web viewers has become almost the same. And when the water main broke a few weeks back, more than 6,000 people viewed our site in a matter of 2 days. And so that's some amazing growth in how our website is used. And the next thing I'd like to mention is the growth of how our Facebook method of delivering stories and information has grown. As of noon today, our Facebook page had 3,994 followers. We're six people away from 4,000 followers. And that's amazing.
Yeah, we need six likes right now. Can we get six likes in this building?
And you look at stations throughout Alaska, and I haven't found one with more. And so our small community has 4,000. I think there's a station I've heard of down south in the Seattle area called KPLU.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I think it's in a back alley.
Yeah,
somewhere.
A little
guy in a trailer.
Well, they're making some growth. They've actually got 16,000 followers, so they have mm-hmm. four times as many as us.
Okay.
But we're hot on their heels, aren't we?
We are.
Last year, we had 2,800. The year before that, 1,400. So we're not quite in the doubling every year area.
Well, we got to say, Ken, that we had 500 Facebook likes before we even knew we had a Facebook page.
We had a good start. Again, when the water main broke, or for Alaska Day, we're seeing thousands of people reached by those messages, by those delivery mechanisms. And we have embraced at the board level, through the staff level, the idea that we're gathering stories and we're delivering them not only through a broadcast transmitter. We're delivering them through whatever means people want to get them. The Smokey the Bear story that was posted on Facebook that Rachel Waldholtz did reached over 40,000 people. And you can find that story on Facebook, the Raven Radio site, and go check it out. And I encourage you, if you have any questions along the way as we talk about any of this stuff and you're wondering, you can give a call 747-5877 or 1-800-478-5877. And with that, I'm going to play a little bit of music and we're going to move into the news portion of the discussion. And I also have a Facebook post up asking for questions or comments there, so I'm going to check that briefly as well. Thank you so much. You're tuned in to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka, and this is our on-air annual meeting, and we'll be going through another couple of topics, and then we'll have a programming discussion that we hope you participate in. Well, I always enjoy tuning into Raven Radio, and I find that I always enjoy looking at our website as well. There's always something new going on, and Facebook. I just looked at the update as well. So we've got a photo from the annual meeting being on the air, and we do have a comment. Dave Clark called in and says he's got a question. What's coming up next on Raven Radio tonight? And it looks like it's the show R&R for the I&I. Of course, we all remember Roots and Rhythms being on Wednesday nights. And so Dave Clark has just started doing some reggae on Wednesday nights again from 8 until 10 o'clock. So Dave said he loves the on-the-air annual meeting idea. And way to get in a plug for your show, Dave. Well done. Nicely promoted. We taught you well. Also, I just wanted to note here that Sitka has been named one of the most pedestrian-friendly cities in America. Great coverage from the news team. And speaking of the news team, we've got news director Robert Woolsey in the studio right now, and you're going to introduce some of the other news folks.
Right, Ken. So you can imagine my distress at receiving morning host Holly Keene's resignation earlier this summer. It was a low time, but it was balanced. Literally, a few days later, I got an email from Melissa Marconi-Wenzel, who was off in New York, saying she was coming back to Sitka and wanted to get back in the harness. She wanted to get back behind the microphone, and here she is. Hey, Melissa.
Here I am, and I am so happy.
What were you doing? What were you doing all that time?
The kids and I were visiting my parents for 5 months.
All right.
And we came back, and I'm a full-time student, a full-time mom, but I wanted to get back into radio somehow, and this was perfect. It was just what I needed.
Yeah, and it took you, I would say, all of about 2.5 minutes to get the feel for being on the air again.
It was like riding a bicycle. It was actually pretty amazing to come in to watch Peter Apathy do his thing and say, okay, I can do that. Move over.
All right.
I'm in.
All right. Well, Melissa, thanks for coming
in. Thanks for having me back.
And Melissa's going to...
It's great having you back.
Aw, thank you.
Melissa's going to be a regular Morning Edition host for the indefinite future. She's going to be backed up by Peter Apathy. And we have some other news folks. Again, another resignation I was sorry to receive was Ed Ronco's this summer, but that also is balanced by the return of Rachel Waldholtz. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, Rob.
And Rachel's back. She was our intern in the summer of 2012, and I can't really talk about it. Rachel's documentary thesis has won a major film award. I'm not really allowed to speak.
That's embargoed.
Yeah, it's embargoed, means I can't talk about it, but there will be a major urban area. We'll be announcing a major film prize shortly, and it will have Rachel's name on it. But between that and your Smokey the Bear story, you must be just sort of bursting with pride right about now.
Yeah, it's just been a really great month for reach
but
of important stories.
How is it coming back to Sitka as interim reporter versus being an intern?
Well, you know, I think I miss Ed Ronco as much as everybody else in this town does, so it's sad not to have him in the newsroom, but just really fun to be back reporting all the stories here.
All right. There's never really a dull moment around the newsroom, is there?
Never.
Okay. Well, thanks, Rachel, and we'll see you tomorrow. And Rachel's, it's kind of funny. I feel like being sort of the blonde redhead, I'm getting the numbers are just stacked up against me. Here's another brunette with glasses. Emily Foreman is here. Emily's our postgraduate fellow, our winter fellow. And Emily is from back east, Rhode Island?
Yeah, I'm from Rhode Island.
And I love your story, Emily. This is our second year of our postgraduate fellowship. You remember we had Anne Bryce last year. Emily is our fellow this year. And Emily, you're one of those people who has had a change of heart in your career.
Yeah. After I graduated college, I just moved to D.C. and took whatever job would hire me. And so I got kind of sucked into business-type roles. And after 5 years of doing that, I felt like I wanted to do something more creative. My last job was at the Washington Post doing business development, but I found that I wanted to make the news instead of manage stuff behind the scenes. So here I am. I went to the SALT Institute to get training, so I'm not right. completely, out of the blue.
The SALT Institute of Documentary Studies in Portland, Maine.
In Portland, Maine.
And Emily, remind me, what was the first story you filed for Raven Radio your first week of your fellowship?
It was either Boots, the running of the Boots, little audio postcard, or I did science in the schools.
Yes.
There was a visiting scientist.
The visiting scientist, and you went out into Thimbleberry Lake with her while she gathered insects.
Yeah, and when I was kind of standing at the edges of the lake, I knew kind of I was in the right place because I was no longer just in the office staring at my computer screen.
None of your colleagues from the Washington Post business office were up to their waist in a muddy Alaskan lake gathering insects.
One could say you were immersed in your work.
Yes, it was.
Emily's going to be with us through May. She got off to such a great start. It is really exciting, I think, for me and for us at the station to be able to welcome somebody who has decided to kind of do a mid-career change and come into journalism. At times it is like a calling, and I think Emily has answered it exceptionally well. And between Emily and Rachel, I think we're going to just have a great fall and early winter season. So
yeah.
Thanks, Emily.
Thanks.
Thank you for your excellent work, Emily.
Briefly, Ken, just to update you, we do have 22 applicants so far in our recruitment process for our reporter to replace Ed Ronco. The job is open through the 15th of November. And the other thing I wanted to mention before we close out on news is just how much I adore and worship Megan Pasternak and Carol Knuth. They are the unsung heroes of the news department. We don't often talk about them, but they process every single public service announcement that comes into this station goes through the ringer of their prose to be turned into radio-ready material. They keep the community calendar updated. If Megan and Carol ever decided to gang up on me, and I don't know, I'm totally at their mercy, whatever they want. They do a huge service for us, and I just can't thank them enough.
All right. Well, that community calendar is a strong tool for everybody in the community, no matter what community that you're in, but a great place to check to see what's happening before you schedule your own event. And Carol and Megan are a large part of why and how that can work.
All right. Ken, did you want to talk about the morning clock before I skip out of here?
Yeah, let's do that. We made some big changes to the morning clock in October.
Yes.
And we went through some changes and gyrations. I just thought it would be good to recap that.
Yeah, I do want to say that I think the clock is settled. I think people will be relieved to hear that the morning edition clock, we are back to local news at 6:49 and 7:49, and we have broken up the weather breaks that used to happen at 6:19 and 7:19. We've kind of divided those among just a short sort of lunch menu insert at 6:19, and then a fuller look at the weather at 6:34 and at 7:34. And these are the opportunities that National Public Radio has created in the morning edition clock for local stations to come in and do these sorts of things. In the old clock, we tried to sort of explain what was driving the change, but in the old clock, we were covering up breaking updated news when we were coming in for weather at 6:19 and 7:19, and that just was not sitting well with us over time. It was becoming increasingly important in today's sort of high-tech, ever-changing media environment that it's important for us to continue to bring the latest and best news when we can. And it seemed like making some of these changes were the way to go. We did try and probably incorporate an amount of flexibility that we might not have been prepared to fully implement at the time we brought on the clock, but it was fairly easy to just listen to what people were saying, where their preferences really lay, and it was fairly easy to decide, let's just put the news back where we've had it. So we seem to get the best of both worlds, ultimately, I think.
Yeah, I think our primary goals of reducing repetition and, again, getting that live updated content on the air at 6:19 and 7:19 were accomplished. And as you said, I think morning edition is settled and it feels good. We had a couple of things going on. We were changing over the morning hosts, and we were also exercising some new experiments with the morning schedule. And we're all settled. So it sounds great.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about it now. And I really do appreciate having heard from as many people as I have heard from. Hardly a day goes by where somebody doesn't say that they appreciate having the news back and they like having local and regional news clumped back together. That's just their preferred way of taking the news. And
or we to say differently.
Well, excellent job, Rob. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ken.
All right, we'll be right back with talking with Amy Kramer Johnson, our development director, about some details about development. I'll be right back with her. If you have any questions about the topic that we're addressing, development's coming up next, give us a call, 747-5877, or outside of Sitka, 1-800-478-5877. I'll check the board again and see if there's anybody that has put on a comment on Facebook. Doesn't look like any questions there. But we do welcome your participation. If anything comes up, give a call, and I'll be able to put you on the air straight away. Amy Kramer Johnson is in the studio with me. If you're just tuning in, this is our on-air annual meeting, and we're taking the place of the Starry Night Concert tonight. And my name's Ken Fade. I'm the general manager, and you're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. And we're going through a few different elements of the station to share you the news over the last year. We used to do these meetings live, or rather in person, but, you know, as with so many meetings and annual meetings, sometimes we were just talking to 40 or 50 people, and we thought this is an opportunity to share the annual meeting with hundreds or thousands. So we've been letting folks know that it's going to be on the air, and this is a way that we can all participate. I'll remind you, if you have any questions or comments, that the number to call is 747-5877, 1-800-478-5877. We can put you on the air. So Amy Kramer Johnson is our development director in charge of underwriting, special events, a lot of membership duties, and general all-around excellence. So Amy, it's great to have you in the studio. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Ken, for the invitation.
You know what's different this year about this annual meeting? It's our second on-air annual meeting.
It is.
But it's the first of another kind. Do you know what that is?
It is the first that I have participated in live on air, because I missed last year's.
Yep, you were out of town last year for the annual meeting, but that's not what I was fishing for. This is the first annual meeting that I have had to wear glasses to read my notes.
You're cheaters, and everybody can tell now because you're going to be...
We're going to be on TV, Channel 11. Dan Edlane is taping the festivities, and we'll be on the air a little bit later on. Thanks, Dan, for doing that, by the way. Dan Edlane, board member extraordinaire for decades. And let's see. So if I'm reading right, I think the first thing in order is congratulations to every single Raven Radio member for getting together and succeeding, right?
Right. We did. We have reached our fall goal, our drive goal of $55,000. It took us a little time to get there. The way that we work our drives now is a little bit different than what it was a few years ago, even 2 years ago. We've kind of moved to a one-day live on-air drive where we are on the air with you all day for one whole day, raising money for membership. That model has changed because we've added in this pre-drive online drive, which we used to call the quiet drive. Now we really encourage people to donate, make their donations online or through mailings or calling in before the one-day drive. Then we have the one-day drive, and then oftentimes people are out of town. They They miss their opportunity to give during that one day of live on-air fundraising. So we send out mailings. We have announcements on the air. We post on Facebook and our website just to kind of remind people who maybe missed out on that one-day drive or the pre-drive, the online drive. So that is the way that we are running our drives now, and look forward to any opportunities for people to give us feedback, suggestions, or comments on that. We look forward to hearing from you.
That last the last section after the one-day drive, we call the "If We Missed You" part of the campaign. And, you know, we do try to make that the final goal, the fall goal, on that one-day drive. But if we don't, we still have that whole "if we missed you" portion. And with a one-day drive, you do miss more people than if you have it for 7 days or 9 days, or, as we've used to do them.
Yes.
And so that's a built-in part of it. And so our expectations are that we're going to enter that third phase and do the "if we missed you" part of the campaign. And that's been successful this fall. We've reached the $55,000 fall goal. Thanks, everybody, for making that happen.
Thank you. Yes, it's a very important part of our budget. And one thing that we have been trying to implement as well, along with the one-day drive model, is we've introduced the idea of a sustaining membership, which is the idea of not having to call in and make your donation or your contribution during the drive, not having to fill out that piece of paper from the mailing that we send you before the drive or after the drive to remind you to make your donation. A sustaining membership is a membership that continues on throughout the year. It perpetuates itself. It just continues on year after year until you ask us to change it. It is something that you don't have to remember. It's great for people like me who forget. I was the type of person who could never remember my annual renewal date.
Well, let me ask you, Amy, do you ever get phone calls from people saying, "When did I last make a pledge?"
Yes.
All right. When was my last contribution date?
Yes.
And when we go through and we have to go into the database and find out, and we can find that out for you.
Right.
But if you have asked that question of yourself or us before, the sustaining membership then makes that question a moot point, because once you sign up, it'll happen on that day each and every year. And if you want to increase it or decrease it or cancel it, you can do that anytime.
Anytime. And you can also, if you give at a certain level for the year, you can also make additional gifts. If you just have to, you know, you hear some really compelling radio during the one-day drive, or you just really feel the drive to make another donation, you can make an additional donation on top of that. You still receive thank you gifts. It does cut down on the mail. You don't receive all the mailing that we send out to the rest of the membership. So it saves you having to remember, and it saves us the legwork in having to put the mailings together and send them out, and the postage and the follow-up and whatnot as far as that is concerned. So if anybody has questions about sustaining memberships, we do have information on our website, kcaw.org. You're welcome to look there. There's a nice little summary of what a sustaining membership is in more detail, or you're welcome to call me anytime at the station here, 747-5877. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Amy, you are our underwriting salesperson. You're our development director, and that means that you approach businesses in and around Southeast Alaska about supporting Raven Radio. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yes, underwriting is business sponsorships, business and local organizations that want to get their message on the air. They are welcome to purchase airtime through me, and I'm happy to work with any business or nonprofit organization to put together a contract that works best to help kind of market either your service or your product or your event, maybe for a nonprofit. And that's a huge part of my job. I really enjoy it. I enjoy working with different segments of the community and really help people get their word out on our airwaves here at Raven Radio.
All right, great. There are a couple of new opportunities underwriting-wise?
Yes, we do have a few new opportunities, and we have just started selling web tiles on our homepage. If you go to our homepage, currently the University of Alaska Southeast Sitka campus is on our homepage with a web tile. It does have click-through capabilities. If anybody's interested in that, I'm happy to talk to you and share information on rates and whatnot. And also our new, our live web stream, we also have an opportunity for sponsorship of that. That is a growing technology, as you and Rob were just talking about earlier. More and more people are listening from remote places or even in Sitka or in our outlying communities through the website. And so this is a great way to reach people through this service.
Excellent. Amy, are there any other things to touch on before we move on to our programming discussion?
One other thing that I'd like to mention is that we do have our legacy fund is established, and it is healthy, and it is a secure way for people to make a gift to the station that's maybe above and beyond just a membership that you might give on an annual basis or whatnot. The legacy fund money is not incorporated into the annual budget. It is not money that goes, you know, towards programming or for staff salaries or whatnot or pencils or whatever. It is money that is set aside, and it is only used with board approval. So the Raven Radio Board of Directors manages that money and decides what that money is used for. It's a great way for people to consider giving back to the station. Maybe in the future, consider us in your will or in your estate as you make your plans. It's a great way to support the station into the future.
All right. Thank you very much. So that is our legacy fund. And if you do have plans to put Raven Radio into your will, as some folks have already done, and you can contact us. It would be great for us to know, but you don't need to. You're not required to. So that's something that you can do on your own or share with us. And either way, thank you very much. Amy, thanks for being in with us.
Yeah, thanks, Ken.
Be right back with a look at programming and having a programming discussion. And we'll have Program Director Rebecca LaGuire and Stephen Courtwright, a member of the Community Advisory Board, in next. The time is 7:22, and you're listening to Raven Radio's on-air annual meeting for 2013. It's the second time that we've done it, and we're doing it in an effort to share the news and discussions of Raven Radio to a wider audience than folks that gather in a single room. So thanks for tuning in and being with us. We're going to talk a little bit about programming next. I've got Program Director Rebecca LaGuire in the studio with me right now. And thanks for being here, Rebecca.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And we also have a member of the Community Advisory Board, which meets quarterly or so and is discusses and reviews programming on the station. Stephen Courtwright, you're on the Community Advisory Board. Thank you for being here.
No problem, Ken. Hi.
We have a couple things that we want to go over here before we open up phone lines or take comments. And so let's go through some of those things. First off, we've got a new program called the American Archive Project that we're putting on the air on Sundays at 11 a.m. And we've had a few programs, the Rocky Gutierrez interview from a few decades back. We have the A&B basketball documentary. Dr. White E. featuring the bottom five records available at the White Elephant. Haven Bay will be coming up, a radio theater serial produced a couple decades ago. So those will be making their debuts. And I've got a Fin and Feather with Eric Jordan on tap for this coming Sunday at 11. And Eric will be talking with Hap Savinko, and that'll be just about 11 o'clock. This Sunday. So it's been neat to get some of those old recordings out of the attic, and they were digitized with this Corporation for Public Broadcasting program called the American Archive Project. And so they funded and digitized some of these reel-to-reel tapes, which were quite literally rotting. And so they've now been saved, and we're going to try to take all of the thousands of tapes that we've got and digitize them over the next few years. So I'm excited about that. Some other new shows, and I'll have Rebecca introduce a little bit about The Speaking Tube. Tell us about that new show on Raven Radio.
Well, we're pretty excited about it. Jessica Gibson is a volunteer that we've had here for a while, and she does a lot of great radio for us. But among other things, she's a Coast Guard wife. And one of her shows, she had she was doing a Good Day show, and she had a couple of folks in who were had been part of the Coast Guard here in Sitka, the community here, and they were moving on, and so it was sort of a goodbye show to them. And it went over so well, and it just was such a neat idea that we decided that she should just start rolling with it and doing it every week. And not so much just goodbyes, but just getting to know the Coast Guard community here that graces our lovely town, and in a way that is more personal. So they can come in and share their music, their stories about, you know, what it's been like to travel around in the Coast Guard. And she's had, I believe, maybe four or five episodes so far. We're archiving them on the website as well. So if you want to listen, or maybe a friend of yours is a guest on the show, you can go to kcaw.org and hear the whole audio of it and see pictures of them. So it's been a really neat thing. I think it's going to go good places.
Yeah, I agree that the Coast Guard community is a special thing. The Sitka community is a special thing, and I think that being able to know and grow together is an important thing that Raven Radio can help.
Yeah.
And so I'm really happy to see that program happening. The Mount Edgecombe community is also a special thing, and Mount Edgecombe and Raven Radio have had a positive and growing relationship over the last several years. Stephen Courtwright, you're a big part of that. You're involved with the Mount Edgecombe Radio Club, and you're in a new spot now on Tuesday nights at 8, immediately following Speaking Tube. And you've had a couple of shows so far this season, some beautiful singing on not this most recent program, but the one right before that. Well, tell us just a little bit about the Mount Edgecombe Radio Club, and you've had some honors this year.
Yeah, well, it's great coming after the Speaking Tube. That's a great lead-in for us. But the club right now is about 15 members. We get, on a regular basis, 8 or 9 of them in the studio, in the building at a given time. We usually have no more than 4 or 5 in the studio if we can help it. And it's a completely student-led program. They plan every element of it with as little guidance from me as possible. I try to be as hands-off as I can. We've got a student who is responsible for all of the song selection and running the soundboard. You know, I hover over his shoulder, but He's the one who controls all of that. They do interviews. They do some pre-recorded pieces. And then they do have live music that they do. And that's been an amazing thing to work with. As you mentioned, some of the things they do sound so good.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great facility for them to play in because the sound's so clean. We get nice, beautiful quality recording for them. They can go back and listen to themselves as we pull out the copy for study purposes. But earlier this year in the spring, actually, we were awarded the Spirit of Youth Award. And that was a huge honor for the club. They're in their third year right now. And so in their second year to be getting the Spirit of Youth Award to recognize their contribution to the community and the fact that they are helping to literally bridge the gap, and then also to give a voice to the Native community and to the Edgecombe students was amazing. It was immense. But along with that came some funding that we were able to turn into some Zoom recorders, some handheld high-quality recorders, which are enabling more kids to be able to be involved now, because those who wouldn't normally be able to come up till this point, everything we've done has been live on air. And now they're able to reach out and record some pieces in advance. They've been doing some interviewing. We've had recorders travel all around the state already, picking up audio from things. Unfortunately, they're great at recording, but not great at editing yet. So we've got a lot of great audio that needs to be brought down to radio length. But it's opening up a new dimension, and it's going to be really interesting to see where they go for the rest of this year.
Great opportunity. The yet word is key in that there's a lot of growth and opportunity available for the students. So a great collaboration. Thanks for your part in that, Stephen. It's been fun to see that program grow.
I'm looking forward to where it goes.
Well, let's go ahead and move on to the Community Advisory Board, of which you're a member, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
We'll next meet on Monday, December 9th at 6 p.m. at the station. And there we're going to tally the hundreds of comments from the drive. We'll also discuss comments that we received tonight. And we'll be specifically talking about the new start time of the Good Day radio show. We'll be talking about the new morning music programs and the lack of the public affairs programs that are on in the morning time. The new music shows start at 9:30. The public affairs programs started at 10. Some notes on the program changes, and then we'll open up the phone lines and the microphones for comments or any discussion folks have. Our local news department has been producing fair and accurate news and public affairs to a high standard of excellence for a while. Statewide news from the Alaska Public Radio Network, as well as national and international coverage from NPR and BBC, share the mission to provide non-biased presentation of the news. Most listeners indicate that they like Morning Edition, The World, and All Things Considered, although we do hear from those who feel that NPR is conservative, and we also hear from those who feel that NPR is liberal. And we believe that the producers, editors, and reporters of NPR constantly strive to provide fair and accurate news coverage. A difficult area of programming is national public affairs, and these programs tend to advocate a particular political viewpoint, usually progressive or liberal, or also, but rarely, conservative. Raven Radio is a community station and, as such, strives to serve the whole community. When approached by listeners that don't share the viewpoint of a left-leaning public affairs program, they ask about balance, and they wonder if their viewpoints might be reflected on the air. And we've tried for several years to provide an element of public affairs balance. For instance, broadcasting programs from the Cato Institute, a self-described libertarian organization. That program explored conservative financial topics as well as liberal social topics. Overall, our broadcast of national public affairs programming has been lopsided to the left. Some believe strongly that Raven Radio has an obligation to provide progressive or liberal content. Others disagree strongly because feelings can run deep and emotions high. It can be a difficult area to discuss and find common ground. A few months ago, we dropped a strip of public affairs programs at 10 in the morning. We did so primarily because people told us that the half hour of talk in the middle of the morning of music made them turn the radio off. Some folks like the new music programs through the morning. Some have missed the whole strip of talk programs, and some have missed only specific programs. We will continue to evaluate that and some of the other program changes. And if those programs don't come back on weekday mornings, maybe some of those programs can be moved somewhere else in the schedule. We do have hundreds of comments from the membership drive and your comments tonight, and we'll be having a community advisory board meeting on Monday the 9th here at the station at 6 p.m. to have that discussion. As we develop the program schedule, we listen to feedback, and we also look towards the future. And Raven Radio, for the future, must appeal to all portions of the community if we hope to provide the excellent local news we currently enjoy. To be sustainable, our listeners must be old and young, left and right, those that like talk and those that like music. It is a certainty that what you like, some others do not, and that the programs that you dislike appeal to some others. It is also a certainty that we need to remove something from the air every time we add something. So thank you for including the consideration of your fellow listeners in your comments. And so we invite you to call with questions or comments about programming, the more recent changes, or anything about Raven Radio's programming schedule. And the way to do that is to just give a call, 747-5877, or you can call toll-free, 1-800-478-5877. And we'll put you on the air, and you can ask your question and stick with us while we discuss it, or ask your question and hang up, and we'll go ahead and go from there. So if you want to make that call, we've got the phone lines open now. Please feel free to do that. And if you are in the studio and would like to make a comment, then we've got a microphone right here. So it looks like we do have somebody that is in the studio. Nobody's called on the phone yet. If you do, feel free. I'll push the button. You'll hear a noise that sounds like, and then you'll hear the radio signal. So just stick with us until we ask for you to go ahead and state your question. So right now, we've got somebody in the studio. Howard Pendle, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, you bet. Well, thanks for the opportunity to comment on it.
You bet.
I have concerns with some of the changes in programming that have happened over the last couple of years. And in my view, there are three kind of main fundamental legs holding up the stool for public radio and Raven Radio in particular, the local news in particular, expanding to state and for the access to local people for training to come in and do their own shows, all fantastic. I think the third leg, though, is also very important, regardless of its popularity, and that is to what non-commercial radio has going for it, is the ability to put on alternative viewpoints that are unobtainable through mainstream media. And I would like to think this is not mainstream media being held by those same constraints and could bring back what had been on for a long time, alternative viewpoints through their public affairs slot at 10 and alternative radio that used to be on at a good time on Sunday night, where over time it seems like any show with political content kind of gets relegated to time slots where nobody's is not going to have any listenership, or has been relegated to the trash can. And I think that's a very, I think that's a leg that's critical to listener-sponsored, non-corporate, non-commercial radio. And I would like to see those come back. Thank you.
All right. And just to follow up while you're here, what is a good time? Just everybody has a time when they listen to the radio. So what is a good time?
Well, I thought the 10 o'clock slots for the public affairs, you know, the set you had, hard to call left, right, and center, you know, leaning one way. I suppose counterspin, one could call that leftist, I suppose, by being critical of corporate news or looking behind it. Hard for me to put a leftist label on that. But I thought the 10 o'clock slot worked fine on those, and alternative radio, I thought, fit in well in the Sunday slot before.
Thank you very much, Howard. We will have the Community Advisory Board on Monday, the 9th of December. where we'll be gathering comments from you and others and talking about them on Monday here at the station, the 9th of December at 6 o'clock. So I hope you see you there.
Okay. Yep. Thanks. Good. Thanks.
Yeah, Rebecca. We appreciate your comments and any feedback. So keep it coming. People can call the studio now, actually, at 747-5877. If you also have comments or feelings about programming that you'd like to share, you can also call toll-free at 1-800-478-5877. And we're always interested in taking feedback and comments from listeners. You can go onto our website at kcaw.org. Under the contact tab, there is a very easy place. It defaults to programming. That comes to myself and also Ken, I believe. But we receive those directly, and you can put your comments there or questions that you have, and we are pretty good about responding to those, I think. So,
I would have to say you're excellent at responding to those. It seems to me a matter of minutes before you do. Rebecca, let's talk a little bit about another one of the changes that that was made a couple months ago. But we'll do that, I think, after we check to see if we've got somebody on the line that has a question for you about programming. Hello, this is Raven Radio. That's the on-air annual meeting. Did you call with a question for Rebecca or me or Stephen?
Oh, I just wanted to talk about programming. I think you guys are all wonderful, and I really appreciate Raven Radio. But I wanted just to ask if it would be possible if on Saturday and Sunday that you just had BBC until Saturday edition and Sunday edition started, weekend edition. If you could just have BBC and not have what you have between, I guess I'm not saying it right. I'm sorry, because I like the programs that you have from 6 to 7, but not from 5 to 6. I can't remember.
Okay, the programs from 5 to 6, I think, are music programs. And so you're saying you'd prefer
BBC.
BBC.
Right.
Okay.
So yeah, and then the other thing I wish you would, I like it when you don't say what's going to be on from, right after the hour on in the morning. It's better when you don't say what's going to be on the news, the local news. It doesn't add anything.
You mean the, like
the announcement of what's going to be on the local news? It doesn't add anything.
At what time slot are you talking?
Like around 5 after 6 or 10 after 6.
Okay.
Then you say what's going to happen. I think you do it after 7. You say what's going to be on the local news.
You know, I believe that we were doing that with the first phase of the morning edition changes. And then we retooled everything, and we haven't been doing that for the last month.
Well, I'm still hearing it.
So. You're hearing it at 9:06, but at 7:06 and 8:06, we don't do that. And you do hear the local news roundup at 9:06, and here's why. In that,
I don't listen at 9:06. I listen at start at 6.
Oh, okay. Oh. So,
and I'm hearing them say this is what's going to be on the local news right after the hour. They say it.
Well, we don't have that as part of the schedule. So when we do say what's coming up on local news, I guess there's the at 6:06 in the morning is when that is read.
Right.
But not at 7 or 8:06. So the 6:06 preview.
I might not have the times exactly right. I'm just saying it doesn't add anything.
Sure.
Okay.
You know, I saw, you know, it doesn't matter what's coming up. I mean, you're going to be listening to it anyway. You might as well put something else in there.
Okay, good comment.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'll let you go. Yeah, thanks a lot. Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right, the number to call, 747-5877 or 1-800-478-5877. And I've got a note that there was a Facebook comment, and I'm taking a look for that. But in the meantime, we don't have anybody on the line, so if you have any questions, that would be great. And Rebecca, would you run through... The Good Day Radio Show has new start time, and that's part of the morning schedule change.
Sure.
And I'll preview that just slightly in that we used to have an 11-minute weather break at 6:19 and 7:19. And besides being a long batch of weather, it covered up a whole section of Morning Edition that we played later between 8 and 9. And so we now don't cover those. Those are played live at 6:19 and 7:19. So that kind of led to...
Well, we ended up having a half an hour slot to fill that we were no longer, filling with other things. So we ended up moving the Good Day Show, which is a show that's been around for a very long time. It's been since I've started working here at 9 o'clock in the morning and going to 10. So we've moved that up to 8:30, and we've got some very good volunteers who are having to deal with a little bit more structure to their show. So we've got some information. We've got some This Day in History that's interwoven with some music. So it is sort of introducing the music day, but it also has an interview element. And we do have our local news roundup that is put in. Because we got rid of that third newscast, we do have an element of the news come in to just let folks know what was on the news, what they're working on, what the news crew is working on that day, what should be coming up for the evening cast. And it's been a lot of fun. It's definitely been a stepped up Good Day Show with a lot of stuff packed into an hour.
And hopefully with a greater access for folks and organizations that are doing things in and around the community to share some of their stories.
Right. We still have our morning interview with during Morning Edition, and then we also now have an extra interview during the Good Day Show. So it's been a great ability for people to come in and talk about things that are going on around town or stuff that is that they're involved in. It's been really great.
All right.
Yeah.
Stephen, I didn't mention this before we went on the air, so I've got another comment from Facebook that I'll read, but I'm going to give you advance notice. You're on the Community Advisory Board. And so I think we're coming on time when we need to recruit some folks to be on the Community Advisory Board. So I'm going to ask you to give a little pitch to recruit some folks here right after I read through these comments. And maybe we'll have a phone call, 747-5877 or 1-800-478-5877 with any comments, good, bad, questions, how things are going with you in the new schedule. You know, we don't have a third newscast in the morning anymore. People were saying that was a tune-out point. Third newscast in a row. Ah, and then I hear twice more in the evening sometimes. Ah. And so we
really
got rid of that.
Really good news.
Really repetitive news. Do you like that? Is that a good thing? We do the local news roundup at 9:06 to kind of replace that, let you know what was on the cast, what's coming up later that day. What you can go back and check on online. How's that going for you? Here's a message from Peter Apathy, and he is our fill-in Morning Edition host. He was with us through most of the month of October, I believe. Or was he?
September.
No, September. He had to head out for October.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was me in October,
that was
wasn't
you.
It? Of course I blacked out. All right. So Peter Apathy writes and says, "Hello, Raven family. I was not able to join you at the station for tonight's meeting, but wanted to let you know I'm listening from home. I've been a member for over 20 years now, but never realized until becoming a Morning Edition host just how much coordination and cooperation it takes among Raven staff and volunteers to make the Morning Edition show work so well. Three cheers to all, and it's an honor and a privilege to be part of it." Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, thank you, Peter.
I will second that sentiment from Megan and Carol that do the public service announcements to so many people that pitch in staff-wise, volunteer-wise, to make what is really a fairly consolidated and I think excellent and very professional presentation of our local morning news mixed in with state, national, international. I think it's a wonderful radio program that Sitka in Southeast Alaska gets to enjoy. I'm really proud of our news department.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'd like to just say thank you to all of the volunteers who help out. I mean, we have an amazing group and a staggering amount of people who help out with shows and programming and things around the station and all of that. And, you know, we just really couldn't do it without the people that come and volunteer here. So
right. And Peter Apathy, a wonderful job. And Emily Riley, thank you so much for stepping in.
Absolutely.
And helping out while we were transitioning from Holly Keene. And also, cheers out to Holly Keene if you happen to be listening tonight. We think fondly of you. All right. Well, no phone call. So, Stephen Courtwright?
All right.
So, Community Advisory Board.
Community Advisory Board. The Community Advisory Board is, for those out there wondering, you know, is this something for me? It is one of the easiest and most important things that you could do for this station. Really, it's a once every 3 months meeting. You get to come hang out at Raven Radio, and really, what could be better than that? You get to come hang out here at the Cable House and talk about what makes radio good in this community and how to make it better, or what was good about it before that maybe should come back. And there is some time that's spent going over paperwork to hear what everybody else has to say, but it's really just a good conversation around the table trying to figure out what it is that that can help us go to the next step as part of the station. If you are out there listening right now and thinking that you feel that your voice is underrepresented at the station, if you don't hear voices that sound like yours on air, the Community Advisory Board needs to be that diverse group. We don't get diverse programming without diverse people advising the staff, because that's what we are. We're an advisory group. And we are diverse in some ways, but we're not diverse in all ways. And we need more of those differing voices. And, you know, we're never going to serve everybody as well as we can. And don't count on somebody else stepping up for you. If you think that you can offer something, anything, if you listen all day and don't hear somebody who sounds like you, whether it's age or ethnicity or political viewpoint or whatever it may be, if you're noticing that there isn't a voice represented that sounds like yours, the best way that you can influence that is by getting on the Community Advisory Board, making sure the staff here knows, and then helping to recruit some folks.
Well put. Steve? Stephen, thank you so much for being here and for being on the Community Advisory Board, which, Rebecca, remind us when that meeting will be.
That's going to be December 9th at 6 p.m. right here at the Cable House. And everybody is welcome to attend and encouraged to attend. And, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
The time is 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. I think we're going to wrap up. If you want to make a call and jump in with a comment or a question, please do it now, 747-5877, 1-800-478-5877. And we'll otherwise be joining a little bit of music up until the 8 o'clock hour, and then headlines, and then R&R for I&I with Dave Clark is coming up next. Reggae music on Wednesday nights is back. And I, for one, am a happy listener about that. It's pretty great. So, Stephen, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, yes. Thanks for having me.
And Rebecca LaGuire, Program Director for Raven Radio. You are fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. You're not so bad yourself.
All right. We have called the meeting officially done at 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next year at the Raven Radio On Air Annual Meeting.